What's poppin'? It's Michael.
It's Sebastian. Welcome to Get In. Today is Wednesday, so we're doing Get In Entertainment. And in case you don't know, we do Get In Sports every Saturday. Today we're going to be talking about Harry Potter. Why? Because it's on HBO Max right now for just this month. And we love Harry Potter. We have been to the Wizarding World together, and we talk about it a lot.
Quite a bit. We have watched through the series together at least once.
That's special. Some special stuff.
It is.
But before we get into all that talk, as always, we're going to get into the movie news of the week. We're starting with the Blue Beetle DC movie. It's going to be an HBO exclusive.
Really?
Which is an interesting turn, because a lot of people have said that because Discovery and Warner have kind of merged into one company to create a streaming like Titan.
Okay.
A lot of people were like, well, maybe a lot of DC content is just going to become streaming instead of going to theaters.
So is this like it's a TV show? Oh, it's a film.
It's a film. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people are saying, because they're joining, a lot of projects, including DC, are going to become stream exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And here's her first one becoming, Blue Beetle becoming.
This one, a lot of times I like kind of see the movie news.
Yeah.
That you usually do beforehand. But this one, I hadn't heard anything or seen anything about Blue Beetle. But, I mean, it's a character that I only know mostly from Injustice games.
Well, he's fairly new.
Yeah.
But
there was a more recent Batman animated TV series. I remember the Blue Beetle was in it.
Yeah, that animated universe ended, but the DC animated universe, in those movies, in the Teen Titans, he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
That's where they gave him most of the spotlight.
Maybe that's why I saw him in.
Yeah, probably. The Book of Boba Fett has wrapped production.
Let's go.
Meaning, it's time. In the coming months, we could get a little teaser trailer. A
little tease.
Yeah. And with that, that means that The Mandalorian 3 can start shooting.
Yeah.
So, we're getting our Star Wars content. A Quiet Place is getting a third movie, but it's not going to be a sequel.
Prequel?
It's going to be a spinoff.
Spinoff.
Yeah, apparently it's based off an idea that John Krasinski had, and he decided to write about it, and then this is going to be the first Quiet Place movie that he won't direct or fully write, because he just wrote down the idea, and there's going to be somebody else taking the reins. But I like the Quiet Place movies.
Yeah.
So
you still need to see the second one. I might wait till it's out of theaters.
So you can watch it without feeling scared?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Cruella is already getting a sequel. Apparently it was a huge success with Disney Plus. I watched the movie in theaters. I thought it was really good. I came out surprisingly like, wow, I just had a pretty good time.
Yeah.
So I don't mind a sequel. I think Emma Stone was fantastic in it. And honestly, the side characters in that movie were so cool.
Gotcha.
So, but it's in very early stages, so we might not get the sequel until 2023 or something crazy like that.
Sure.
So don't expect it anytime soon. And lastly, Netflix superhero series Jupiter's Legacy has been canceled after one season.
Yep, I did see that.
Yeah. I watched the first season. I thought the only reason I kept watching the show was because of the flashback scenes.
Mm, okay.
The acting was good. The special effects were good, but the action was kind of lame. They had so many characters. I thought it was predictable. Like, from that first episode, I saw the bad guy, and I'm like, that's the bad guy. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So I did hear some okay things about it. Nothing like, oh, this is really good, you should watch it.
Yeah.
So, nothing like The Boys.
Yeah, Josh Duhamel was pretty great in it. I will say that.
What does this character look like? Because I've seen multiple of the characters. Does he have a beard?
Yeah.
That guy?
Utopian, I think that was his name.
Utopian.
Yeah. He was pretty cool.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the flashback scene is the thing that carried that show. Because I think in most shows, they would have done just regular story.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say the show has 10 episodes.
Sure.
And the 8th episode, they have the flashback scene of how they get their powers. And then boom, boom, scenes of the finale.
Yeah.
But this one, they had a little bit on each episode, because they probably knew, this is the only thing people are going to care about. Which, it ended up happening, so...
Huh.
Jupiter's Legacy has been canceled. But that's your movie news of the week. So now let's get started with friggin' Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The boy who lived.
Come to die. He's back. He's back. Voldemort's back. Yeah, we love Harry Potter
movies. I can't tell how many... I feel like Harry Potter's come back. I mean, I feel like there's always been like a little niche of Harry Potter TikTok, but now I'm just seeing it like it's really mainstream where people are... Well, that's from that trend, the RIP trend, or just... Yeah. I saw one. It cracked me up so much. It was from... She was like ranking lines.
From the chess match.
The chess match. The way they say those lines, I've never noticed how like... incredible they all are.
What is he trying to do? Isn't it obvious?
He's trying to sacrifice himself.
No, he can't!
it's amazing. Ron,
no! Harry, once I take the queen...
Do you want Snape to get that stone or not? So good.
It's so good. It was funny.
I was crying.
I thought about doing it for my own TikTok, and I'm like... I can't.
No, you can't steal that.
I can't. No. It's too good. Well, they don't want to steal it.
You just want to do your own take?
I'm talking about stealing. People have been stealing my TikToks, man.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to do it because you're like, I've had been on the other side of that.
Yeah, now I know how that feels. Like, I made a real good TikTok and now everybody copies it.
Yeah.
I did one for The Conjuring 3 and I'm like, ooh, time to post. It's just like a before and after seeing a movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, time to post it. And... you know, I click on the sound to redo it with the same sound. And people were already posting it, and they had, like, millions of likes. Not views. Mm-hmm. Likes, so the views...
For the same movie?
Yeah.
The Conjuring?
Yeah.
They beat you to it.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is my thing.
That was me.
And the thing that makes me more mad is that their videos suck. Yeah, I'm just going to say.
Sure.
Like, they're terrible quality. They don't make it fun. Yeah. It's just...
Are you going to keep trying to do it again with other movies, or are you kind of going to put that one to rest?
Because
if anything, you just got to just have just a bunch of stock footage of you just going to the movie, or like holding popcorn. And
yeah, I mean, I always do the same recipes, like exiting out of my garage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think I'll keep doing it until the views really just die.
Sure.
But
you just got to be honest.
It's insane how I made a TikTok trend, and because I'm using a sound that was used before.
Okay.
It doesn't show up like I'm the original or anything.
Oof.
So, but then I used a TikTok sound of the Green Goblin from Spider-Man saying, "Well, you can't do this to me. Mm-hmm. I started this company. Do you know how much I've sacrificed?" Yeah. So I did that.
Nice.
To show people. But anyway, that's back good. To Harry Potter. me and Michael were talking about. The streaming rights for Harry Potter are so iffy. So it's on HBO Max right now. And HBO Max, when it launched about a year ago, that was their big sale. Like, we have Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Go watch them all. So they have it for just June because the streaming rights for Harry Potter are so weird. So Freeform, which is owned by Disney because Disney owns everything.
Well, because...
It used to be ABC something.
Yeah, ABC, I can't tell you how many times. I'm pretty sure now they still do it. But like growing up, you like... Harry Potter weekend on ABC.
Dude, I used to watch that all the time.
Exactly, same.
They still do it. It's once a month.
Yeah.
They have it the entire weekend on repeat.
Yeah.
So once they get to the final film, it just starts over.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that was because we had all the DVDs, but like this one would have all the extended scenes and stuff in it.
Yeah.
So it always
Harry Potter forever.
Yeah.
And then it's amazing. So they own the actual rights. But because Warner Brothers, you know, owns the movies,
yeah.
They have, like, little loopholes, so it allows them to have it for just a tiny little bit. And I think for last year, for the launch, they ended up paying, like, $800 million just to have it for that 1 month.
Wow.
So, that's insane.
Yeah.
Imagine having to pay $800 million for something you own, basically.
It's just such a big franchise and... A lot of people love it, so
yeah.
I guess it's worth it.
And it keeps going. Like I've seen a lot of TikTokers like traveling here to California for the Avengers campus, but they ended up going to Universal beforehand, and they always like Wizarding World and Harry Potter is just the best, man.
It is.
Yeah,
they're like comfort movies for me. I just like put them on. But, like I'm not watching anything like amazing or anything because I think the one thing I noticed like when we were watching it, we were showing some of our friends for the first time. And they were like, it's kind of comical, just I mean, most of the time the acting isn't great, or like the story's a little, you know.
Yeah.
That, it's more for kids, obviously.
It's not a cinematic masterpiece.
No, but it's just great to watch.
It's a very comforting movie. Some people argue it's a Christmas movie. Some of them, at least.
Do you?
Do I think it's a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I would argue for the first one.
Really?
Or
for you people, maybe one day we'll really dive into this whole concept, but we had this argument one time with a friend over Home Alone.
Got pretty deep.
Yeah. One of our friends was arguing that Home Alone doesn't... It can stand by itself without being a Christmas movie. They're like, the Christmas... Putting in Christmas was just like a marketing idea, I guess. But then Sebastian's like, no, like, there's a purpose why it's for Christmas.
Well, like, they write it to be in Christmas.
Yeah.
The entire set design is red and green and white.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. The towels.
No, yeah, everything. I know that.
So I'm like, if they put time and effort and purpose into everything, obviously it's a Christmas
movie. But it was more like, oh, this could be set like any time, like, the family just went on vacation, they just left their kids at home. Like, that movie could exist. But I agree that, like, putting it with Christmas, it made it more popular.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Harry Potter, first one, it does show the most Christmas.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I like on the, which one is that one? Seventh? That, they're on the
graveyard?
Yeah, the Potter's graveyard, and yeah. Hermione's like, Merry Christmas, Harry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aww. It's like,
but it's kind of like a, yeah, it's like a sad kind of Christmas vibe. Like, the first one's like, ding, ding,
ding. Merry like Christmas, holiday. Harry.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Well, they don't say Merry Christmas in that one. They say, Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Ron, because I just watched it. I was like, oh, geez, the first one is very British.
Really? Happy Christmas?
Happy Christmas. That's how they do it.
Wow. Happy Christmas, Ron. And Ron has that sweater that just has a
just
big fat R
on it.
You got a present. I've got a present.
Got a present. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I love the first movie. It's probably, like, the worst in acting. It's kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so, like, it does such a, well, like, such a good job of just diving you deep
into the world.
Like,
the world building is great.
Yeah. It just doesn't necessarily throw you in like many movies do.
Yeah.
It literally shows you little by little, just you're with Harry entering all these places and you're just as amazed as he is.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, is that a freaking owl?
I know.
And he's like, Hagrid, I'm supposed to get this?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, and like, it does a good job. Like, if you've never seen Harry Potter or like read the books, or like, it does a really good job of like slowly diving you into this new world, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it starts with like, you know, oh, they're bringing Harry, and you're like, all right, establish this boy is special, I guess, you know. They're talking how he's gonna be famous one day, and then you show him growing up, he's like, oh, this situation sucks. Which, and you're like, oh, I hope something good happens, and then boom, you're a wizard, Harry.
And then boom. I mean, he did go through that door like the freaking Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, exactly. Hagrid is the Kool-Aid man.
Confirmed. I also like the characters, how they establish them. Like,
mm-hmm.
Dumbledore, oh, he's the greatest wizard Hogwarts has ever seen. You know, like, they, when characters are introduced, they literally tell you exactly what they are, who they are. Like, Snape, he's like, oh, that's Snape. He's been wanting this job for years.
Yeah, yeah.
So from
there's always someone on Harry's shoulder, like, whispering something
so to who him. Somebody like, is.
That's Professor Quirrell.
And a lot of movies happens too all the time.
Well, the funny thing about the Harry Potter movies is a lot of the time, I remember when we were watching it again with our friend would have, he would ask a question, and then only the next line was that same question from like Ron or something.
It's like, how can you do that? And then Ron would be, how can you do that?
How did you do that, Harry?
And he's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah. So they're pretty good at establishing like which characters, or like Harry is basically the audience a lot of the time, which is like good for like connecting to the audience, because like Harry's just as confused as we are half the time.
Yes.
Like, a new concept of magic is involved, and he's just like,
the way he opens his eyes is the way we open our eyes. We're like, what the?
He's just like, what's a porky? And we're all like, what's a porky? And someone answers, what's a porky? So
I was like, he's buying school supply. We know he's basically like adopted, and he's like, how am I supposed to afford all of this? And we're like, how is he supposed to afford all this?
And then they're like, well, thank goodness.
You're rich, Jerry. By the way, you're rich.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And then that also establishes his parents as caring for Harry.
Even though
they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're good parents.
Good
parents. They're good parents.
I mean, they died for him.
it's true.
Yeah.
But protected her love. I think one of my favorite questions that we got from our friend, Alex, was we're watching The Half-Blood Prince, and it's like an hour and a half into the movie, he turns to me and goes, hey, do we know what The Half-Blood Prince is?
Yeah.
And I go, no, not yet. And he goes, oh, okay, thank God.
I missed that.
That's probably the best question ever.
Wait. Should I know who's
should I know who the head of the prince is by now?
I'm trying to think of any which other ones you have to wait basically to the end.
Yeah. So we'll be like, did they make it to the Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah.
So who's the prisoner of Azkaban?
That one's answered pretty quickly.
Yeah. Maybe the Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallow ones. I mean, no, they mention it in... Maybe it is towards... It has to be... When they talk to Xenophilius Lovegood at the end of part one.
Yeah.
It just takes a while.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like you're halfway through the movie and you're like, so what are the Deathly Hallows?
The Deathly Hallow movies, they don't really, there's not a whole lot they give time to the Deathly Hallows, actually. It's a lot of on the Horcruxes, which is, I mean, what the main mission is.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference from the book, obviously it's a lot longer and it's hard to fit everything into, like, I mean, they had to split it in two movies. It was so big.
Yeah.
But the book goes into a lot of detail of, like, Harry's obsession with the Deathly Hallows after learning about them.
Oh.
Because he has this moment where he's, like, he thinks Hallows are more important. Like, Dumbledore's... Even though Dumbledore told him to destroy the Horcruxes, he thinks this little, like, Dumbledore leaving, like, the symbol in the book was a message to Harry, like,
actually go get
Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
So...
Oh.
It is interesting, but yeah.
Because you see, for me, the first time I was going to watch the movie,
because
I had no idea what the Deathly Hallows were, because I didn't read the final books.
Yeah.
I thought those were another name for the Horcruxes.
True, true, true.
So I was like, the entire time, I was like, oh, the Deathly Hallows are these. And then they start to explain what they are, and I'm like, wow, I wish they'd, like, all that movie, just thinking that different the thing. Horcruxes. Yeah. And the entire time, I'm like, this has to be, like, I was just arguing with myself. Yeah. So.
But they're going to mention it soon, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting how you get to have that
comparison.
Yeah. Because I only read until, I think it was the third one or the fourth one.
Yeah.
And I was a little kid. I never read them again.
It's weird.
So I don't know.
So many people that I've talked to, that I'm like, oh, have you read the books? So like, yeah, I've read up to the fourth one. It's always the fourth one. I don't know. After that, everyone, I feel like Cedric dies. And everyone's like, man, that was tough.
That's tough. I think the movies just became so popular and...
Probably.
They just started to make them faster.
Yeah.
That you were like, I'd rather just wait for the movie than read the book.
True.
Yeah. Because I used to read them with my family, so we would read the book.
And then get ready for the movie. Yeah.
Which, the Harry Potter movies was one of the few movies my dad would be like, I gotta be there to watch this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the same with our family.
Yeah.
My mom, at least, but...
Because my mom, my sister, and I will always go to movies. Mm-hmm. That weekend, and depending on the movie, my dad would join us or he'd go play tennis.
Yeah.
So Harry Potter was, like, one of those. He was like...
Oh, you guys are going? I'm going.
I gotta be there, yeah. And I remember the theater where I watched the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember exactly seeing... Because they started playing another movie, and the theater was just going crazy. They're
halfway through the movie?
No. At the beginning.
It started a different movie.
Yeah, all the trailers happen, and then...
You're like, you're ready for them to see, like, the Warner Brothers symbol and all that.
And then... it ended up being a stupid movie. I think it was, like, Mom, I'm a Fish or something like that.
Gotcha.
And everybody was just raging. Because like, that was the premiere one. That was, like, the first, showing first showing ever in Columbia. So everybody was just...
Not happy.
Raging. And my dad's like, what's going on?
That's funny.
Yeah, I remember that one very vividly.
Yeah, I feel like the third one was the first one that we saw in theaters, and then everyone after that we saw, but So I remember we didn't get into, like, Harry Potter till, like, I want to say when the second one was starting to come out. So I remember that one we got on DVD. And anytime the basilisks would show up, like, on screen, I would hide in our kitchen. Because I hate snakes, and that's a big, big snake.
That's a huge snake.
Yeah. And
I was afraid of it, too. I think my mom made me close my eyes.
Yeah.
Up until I was, like, older, and I was finally going to see it. But, yeah, for the first scenes, my mom was like, close your eyes. And then my mom was like, open them.
Yeah.
And then the snake was about to pop again. And mom was like, close the glasses. And I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that one was, so this one, that one was 2002, and I was just thinking, like, man, that, like, that snake still looks pretty, like, pretty freaky still.
I think, well, part of it is the practical effects.
Yeah, yeah,
they did a really good job, which I actually saw a little documentary on it, and they said, let's just do the head. And once the head was done, they were like, well, we better keep going. So they did a lot more than just the head.
So they built the whole thing.
Yeah, wow. Pretty much.
Yeah, it does look really good. The only part of that movie that I look at, I'm like, not amazing, was Aragog, the spider.
Yeah.
Because so he's, like, very, like, kind of robotic and just...
Yeah.
Because I always compare him to Shelob from Lord of the Rings, because that came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And that spider is, like, still to this day, it looks like they made it, you know...
That one's scary.
Yeah, it looks really, like, it moves real, and it's, like...
It's kind of weird. It's
fleshy and hairy and parts, yeah. And it's just...
The mini spiders, though, on Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, I think they worked more on those, because they knew that they needed more movement from those guys.
But they scare the crap out of me watching that movie. Yeah. Like, when Ron's like, Harry!
That was you.
That's me every time we watch it. When we watched it last time, I was like, oh, God. Because, like, I can... Like, you can hear all the little...
And
I'm like,
you hate snakes, like, a lot. Like, my fear is spiders. Snakes.
You're talking backwards. I'm spiders, you're snakes.
I'm a snake guy. I'm Indiana Jones, basically.
You're like, I'm not going down there. There's snakes.
There's snakes. And you're Ron Weasley.
Yeah. But that means it's good, because if we ever encounter a snake, you'll take care of it. But if we ever encounter a spider.
Oh, I got it, bro.
Don't worry.
This is why we're a team.
We're a team.
But yeah.
Well, it's supposed to help each other. So I'm like Cedric and you're Harry Potter.
You're Cedric?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
He
dies.
He's back. Voldemort's back.
I was watching... Because I watched the first and second one last couple nights. Just because it's... Obviously, it's on HBO Max. I'm like, you know, just relaxing, watching.
It's I think those movies are also like a perfect late night.
Yeah.
In your bed, by yourself, type of movie.
Yeah. Especially, so like the first one to me, it's the, like, the stakes aren't like, in all the other ones, it feels like Harry's in a lot more peril the whole time.
Yeah,
like the first one, besides like the fact that during a Quidditch match, a teacher tries to kill him. Other than that, like, Harry doesn't seem in that much danger.
Yeah.
He basically puts himself in danger all the time.
But even in the Quidditch match, I feel like it wasn't, like, very, like... How do you explain it? It felt like it's appropriate to the world that in a match, a sporting match, somebody would try to do something wrong because they can.
Yeah. Because let's say Harry did, like, he slipped. I'm sure, because he was on there for a really long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure some teammate or Madame Hooch had to have noticed him and maybe should have been underneath him, like, hey, or gotten next, like, Harry, like, let's get you off this broom.
I mean,
or even like
Albums catches him on
the third one.
The third one,
I'm
saying.
I'm Dumbledore just watching this whole thing, just like, hope he falls.
Yeah, I want to flex a little bit.
I want to flex my magic muscles.
It was like, McGonagall, check me out. Bow, bow, bow.
Resto momento.
That is so cool.
I love that scene too. Remember watching that with Alex, and then they're like, "Why is the eyes shut?" Because why was Dumbledore's eyes shutting? Because it is from his view.
Yeah.
But they're doing it like, "Oh, you're Harry, and you're like
the blacking crying out." Yeah.
And we're just like, "Well, this guy's Harry's." Like, "Well, this doesn't make any sense." I was like, just "Don't worry about it. It's really good editing. Like, this guy, the best director of any Harry Potter movie."
Like, to be fair, They're right.
They are right.
But it in that weird moment, you feel like you're hairy. Yeah, doesn't
the world is slowly...
Yeah.
And it's, the way it goes is you're falling hairy down.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Okay, since we started talking about the third one and the best directing probably all these movies had, Alfonso Cuarón just completely changed this entire world.
He did. He did.
He came into the movie, and the only condition he has, like, let me make it mine.
Yeah. Which I'm glad he did, because...
The Hogwarts layout, that's the layout. That's the layout you think of.
Yeah.
In case you don't know, go watch the first two movies and then watch the third one. Everything changes. Yeah. Hagrid's hut, where it is, the main quad and with the clock tower.
Yeah, they had the bridge and all that. Yeah, they added a lot of different like set pieces of Hogwarts.
Yeah, the bridge. The bridge. Yeah. Everybody loves that bridge. Everybody's been imagining hanging out at that bridge.
Just watching that bridge.
Yeah. That Alfonso Cuarón just decided to make everything new. That's why even the wardrobe clothing and some of the teachers even changes.
Yeah, because before that, Hogwarts was like, they had more of like, I guess, sets or like live locations to shoot at, because they had a legit castle.
Yeah, it's a school in outside England.
Yeah, but it never felt like, oh, like I could imagine walking around this Hogwarts.
Yeah.
But like, the third one, it kind of establishes these key spots, and you can kind of imagine.
It's like you have the layout in your mind.
Yeah.
With the first two, it's so random and unpredictable, you don't know it. But with the third one, you basically, it's like a video game.
Yeah.
Let's say Halo. When you start a Halo game, go into a map and you have no idea. You're like, I don't know this map. You just walk around, shoot, whatever. And then by the second, third time, you know the map perfectly.
Yeah.
You're like, I know I need to walk this way to get this way. And I feel like that's what Alfonso Cuarón created. Just us being able to be like, I know exactly how they're going to get there.
Yeah.
Like if they, like, we need to go to Hagrid's, you already imagine them running down that hill to get to Hagrid's.
Yeah, well, they go across the bridge and they go down the hill.
Yeah.
Because the other thing he did too, he did a lot of like, it was a lot of shots on the Whomping Willow, which is like obviously foreshadowing, but it gave us an idea, like you would go through, follow a bird, you know, from the clock tower and all that. And it's just, the other movies don't do that, where they spend time like away from the plot and just like around the setting, I guess.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Another thing going with video games, because I love the Lego Harry Potter game, and the layout of Hogwarts, because you can go through Hogwarts and...
Yeah, it's pretty much...
It's the layout from the third one.
Yeah.
But, because from that point on, they basically keep that layout. The only thing that changes, I'm pretty sure, is he put those three random rocks, you know, on the hill.
Yeah, where Hermione beats up Draco.
Yeah, he punches him. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, it's pretty much the same the whole way.
Yeah, it's...
Which I like, but yeah. Third one is just...
Third one's amazing. Okay, so the third one has a special place up there. Not only because it's a great movie, but I love time traveling movies. It could be like a romantic comedy or Back to the Future, Endgame.
Yeah.
Harry Potter makes time travel so good. Because it feels like... I never noticed it until I was like older. All the stuff that happens. Yeah. Like that you realize. Like Ron throughout the movie going like, where's Hermione? And then then they blink or something, or like change to another character, and they come back to Sean. It's like, there's like, where have you been? And she's like, I've been here the entire time.
Yeah.
And then that's when you notice how much of time travel actually was involved in the movie. And it's just a little hinty.
Especially like that ending scene where they're going to Hagrid's with the Buckbeat, and then they
like hit each other in the head.
Yeah, they're like doing stuff to each other from the future, but it's the past.
Yeah, it's a continual cycle too.
Yeah, it's like it's a loop. It's
a loop.
So like once they've done that, like for eternity, there's gonna be versions of Harry and Hermione just going back through time forever. Yeah.
Which is was this a TV show or a movie? Which they said, oh, but Tenet. Tenet's the one that does this. They basically do like a loop, infinite loop.
Yeah,
and I think, as the protagonist that says, what if we stop? What if we didn't do anything? And it's like, Neo, someone's like, well, we gotta do it. We have a choice. I mean, whatever. What's happened.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it.
Yeah, whatever we do, that's what's happened. Yeah, I like that type of time travel, I guess, where it's always, like, that was always the result that was gonna happen.
Yeah, like, just because you've seen it happen, like you've seen it works. Mm-hmm. Like they, let's say for some reason before they went back in time, they knew that Sirius Black was safe. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, he's safe, so we don't have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, you have to do it still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, like, yeah, that's the whole point of, like, Dumbledore. Because Dumbledore, like, I guess just instinctively knows that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he's not going to tell them. Because he's like, I gotta send them back in time, basically.
Yeah, you still got to do it. You still got to go through whatever struggles. Yeah, you may know the outcome, but you're going to pay price to it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's happened.
Yeah. Well, that's the part where Harry, after he's done the Patronus, where he's like, I thought I saw my dad, but then he realizes, right before he does it, he's like, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
So then he was like, I knew I could do it because I'd already seen myself do it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, does that make any sense to me? He's like, no. I'm like, makes sense to me.
Like, yeah. I got it. I got you, Harry.
Yeah.
I understood it. Yeah, those, so time travel movies are amazing, and the fact that Harry Potter did it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
I think part of the fact that I like it too is that, you know, sometimes in other movies, something happens, and then they have sequels or stuff, like, why don't they do what they did in the first one, right? Mm-hmm. But in this one, Harry Potter did time travel, and it never bothered me that they never did it again. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never like, what, did they just time travel right here and then they don't have to deal with that problem? Because I'm like, I guess they know how powerful time traveling is and all that stuff.
I guess there's more reasons in the book why they don't do it either.
Oh.
Yeah.
Care to elaborate?
So, like, Hermione obviously has a time turner in the third one because she decided she wanted to take every class possible.
Yeah.
So then McGonagall was able to, like, and Dumbledore had to pull some strings to the Ministry of Magic to give her own time turner. Because the Ministry of Magic has all the time turners. To, you know, like, control that. And they don't want just random people having time turners.
Right.
So, like, alright, give this to this 13-year-old girl. You know, like, what could happen? But then after that whole year where she's like, man, I'm so tired. Like, I just can't do everything. Then she gives it back to McGonagall and says, like, hey, I'm not going to do that. And then in the fifth book, when they go to the Ministry of Magic, when they go through that one door, instead of going straight into the Department of Mysteries, they're in a room full of doors. Mm-hmm. It's all around. It's circular. And when they get in there, the door behind them closes and it starts spinning.
So are they in a huge time turner?
No. This is just a special room. And then, so basically, you're supposed to, like, not know how to get out, basically. Because, you know, a lot of stuff at the Department of Ministry is very, like, experimental and dangerous. They don't want... It's like a defense mechanism. But then they start going to random rooms trying to find the Hall of Prophecies. And one of the rooms they go into is a room full of time turners.
Oh, shit.
And, they go through it. They're trying to find the other rooms. And then eventually when they run to the Death Eaters, they're all running... It's basically like a Scooby-Doo scene where everyone's running through different rooms and stuff. Like, and there's a point where they're in the time turner room, and then, you know, they're shooting spells, and they hit the time turners, and one of them is a giant grandfather clock, and it smashes, and it just... So they're all breaking, and now they're in a continual loop of just destroying and then fixing itself and then, like, destroying itself. So, like, they basically destroy all the time turners.
Oh, wow.
So there's no more time turners.
Wow.
So it's basically like J.K. Rowling said, like, no more time travel.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that. That's a huge explanation.
It's a pretty cool, like, all the rooms that they go into are pretty interesting.
Yeah, so, like, the J.K. Rowling's like, probably people told her, like, why didn't you just go back in time? Like, Cedric. Yeah, like, why would he have time?
Why didn't Dumbledore use a time turner?
And yeah, just and go save and Cedric.
Like, Harry, don't go over it. Don't touch the cup. It would save a lot of time.
Yeah. Harry, you put your hand in the shell. I love that, I think it's a TikTok. It's just a video, the deal with Legos. It's like, in the book, Harry, did you put your name in the goblet of fire?
Dumbledore asks calmly.
In the movie, Harry, and they pick him up, and then just like, John Cena's him. Put him in the goblet of fire.
I know. That line is just...
Wow. To be honest, I like the movie version.
Okay.
Because I feel like if you care for someone, Mm-hmm. And they somehow got into this thing that you know is super dangerous and you know it can cost your life.
Yeah.
You'll be wondering, you're like, dude, did you do this? Because you're freaking dumb.
But it's just, it's a different take on the character of Dumbledore. Especially in the books, like, Dumbledore kind of stays the same. Because from the first two, he's very, like, calm and, like, he's kind of like a grandfather. He's always explaining things to Harry, like,
yeah.
Love, Harry, love. And then from the third one...
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
And then the third one on, they got the, you know, other guy, younger, you know. He has that, like, you can see him that he's the most powerful wizard.
Yeah.
But he has that more aggressive side to it. Like, in the book, even though, like, Dumbledore knows that, like, this term is really dangerous, he never, for 1 minute, suspects that Harry himself put it in. Like, he knows there's something else going on. So he's, like, asking Harry as, like, even though he knows the answer that Harry didn't put it in, it's more of, like, reassuring, like, trying to get everyone else to, like, calm down and, like, so.
Yeah, well, Richard Harris, which is the guy that played him in the first two movies, he passed away, which is why he couldn't do it any longer. But his version was the book version, basically, which I love. Like, the way he says things is, like, when Harry's like, but won't your friend die? Yes.
Because he will die.
He will die. And, you know, like...
The way he explains everything. Like, the first one, he explains Harry's scar and, like, why Voldemort couldn't touch him. And the third one, he explains, like, the whole, like, Tom Riddle thing and, like... Just the way he explains it. Yeah. His calming voice, you're just like... Yeah, you had under control the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I love the way he portrayed him. But Michael Gambon... The reason he accepted the role was because he was like, I don't want to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, might have been a good decision because then everybody will always be like, well, he did it better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're trying to do the same thing, it's easy to like compare. He was I'm going to do my little twisty twist.
I think the third one, he like nailed it.
The third one was awesome.
The way he's always like, especially with like the time turn stuff at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when the like
he's like
the
very luck.
Ending where like he closes the doors right to the hospital wing and he's going down the stairs and like they just arrived back from their whole time travel, like, we did it, sir. He's like, did what?
He's like, did what?
Good night.
And then he winks at them and points at them.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Or
even when like when he's he tells Hermione, he's like, Miss Granger, you know, like, he's like, three turns will do it. And then he's like, he says a bunch of, I can't remember the lines. And then he like winks at them, that scene. And then he closes the door. And then Ron's like, what the bloody hell is that all about? He's like, that's just Dumbledore.
I didn't like him on the last one. On the flashbacks.
The flashbacks?
On the Snape flashbacks.
Oh, really?
I thought, from my perspective, that he was just like kind of a dick. And kind of just... literally just raised Harry to be a pig for slaughter.
Yeah, like Snape was saying.
Yeah, like, for me, that completely like, killed the character a little bit.
Okay.
And I, to be honest, I still think I haven't recovered from it. Because I'm like, dude, so you weren't pals with Harry? Mm-hmm. Like, so you were just using him. That's it. You weren't really pals. And then McGonagall, later on, she's like... "No." Well, that happened at the end of the sixth one. It's like, he was very fond of you.
Yeah.
But looking back after watching the Snape's book flashbacks, like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You were just using him.
You can't think like that.
I'm sorry. It was the way it was, like, shown and stuff. I don't know. It's just, it killed the character for me.
Yeah, it shouldn't for you, though. That's why you just got the last scene where Dumbledore is in Harry's mind.
Where are you going?
On. Yeah. That just, you know.
Okay, talking about that scene,
mm-hmm.
I saw this guy on TikTok explaining that Dumbledore is death.
Yeah. I saw that one too.
And Harry's the last bro of the Deathly Hallows. It's amazing, because it's like, they explain that he's going to be good in this place as an old friend.
Yeah, because it started out with, like, basically, like, Dumbledore had the Elder Wand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right before James... Potter died, he gave him the invisibility cloak.
Yes.
And then he returned that back. And then, right before the sixth book, he got the resurrection stone.
Mm-hmm.
So he became the first person, not at once, but at different times, he held all three Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
Because the other person to do that was Harry.
Mm-hmm.
He did it later. But then, well, the guy was saying that that would make Dumbledore the Master of Death.
Yes.
So then, when Harry, like, basically dies, he is greeted by Death as an old friend. So when I saw it too, I was like, that is pretty cool.
If that's actually true, like, if J.K. Rowling intended this, I'm like, that's genius writing.
It was great.
Both in book and in movie.
Yeah.
It's, and I mean, I've seen the movie, and this was, I saw that TikTok after we rewatched all those movies, which is, I think, the last time I saw them, and this was December, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Because that was the whole point. I guess your whole thing was like, oh, Dumbledore meant him to, like, you know. He always knew that Harry eventually, at the end, would have to, like, sacrifice himself.
Mm-hmm.
But if he didn't care about Harry, he basically, I don't think he would have cared for him as, like, a man, basically. And Dumbledore's whole thing was getting Harry to the point where Harry chose for himself. It wasn't like...
So you're saying Dumbledore basically didn't put pressure on Harry to do
it? No, he was kind of one of the father figures for Harry, and then at the end, it wasn't like Dumbledore was like, alright, Harry, time for you to die. It was like, this is the path that's laid out before you, Harry. And then Harry... That was the whole point of the snitch that Dumbledore left him.
I think it was like, you made the right choice.
It was basically like, because it says, I open at the close. And like, it only would open until Harry acknowledged that this was the end for him. And it was basically like, Dumbledore was like, because this is the end for you, you basically, like, it allows him to talk to his family, basically. Which I thought was really cool.
Mm. See, if we had the first and second movie Dumbledore, this whole explanation would have been...
He would have explained a lot better. In the calmer voice, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, just in the flashback themes, he's very, like, very passionate about it.
He's just like, it's essential that Voldemort has to kill Harry.
Yeah.
And I just felt like Snape on that scene, which I guess is the way you're supposed to feel.
My like, thing, too, is Dumbledore almost died. Like... A couple minutes before that. He's a little like, he's got to tell somebody, because he doesn't have much time now, either.
That's also true.
Because, basically, Snape is like, if he doesn't have Snape, like, who's going to let Harry know?
Because
Dumbledore trusts Snape so much, because Dumbledore's the only person who really knows Snape.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like... Pablo Prince, I guess he was just very rushed to get all these things done.
Yeah.
Because
the other thing, too, the whole thing with, like, Ron was like, oh, I thought, didn't Dumbledore tell you more? And he's like, I told you everything Dumbledore told me. And, like, the other thing, too, like, even though there was a lot Dumbledore could have told him before he died. But Dumbledore was always like, this is Harry's journey. Like, I can't, this isn't my journey anymore. Like, I need to let Harry, you know, do this himself.
Yeah.
So.
Because, I know, it seemed like a big switch from the fifth one, where Dumbledore was trying to ignore Harry, and then by the end, he's basically, like, looking at him, I don't know if he was dying or just becoming Voldemort or whatever was that deal, but he's literally looking at him, basically he looked like he was about to cry, just like, Harry, no.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and I'm like, in that moment, I'm like, he cares.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, I'm sorry, I thought that by, you know, not paying attention, whatever.
Yeah, that's the fifth one, I'm still always, I feel like I have to read the books again. But, like, the fifth one, it was always weird why Dumbledore didn't, like, talk to Harry, but...
But then at the end, I'm saying, like, it's redeemed.
Yeah.
And he shows that he cares, but then the sixth one shows up, and he just becomes so, like, oh, we gotta get stuff done.
Sure.
I don't care about being friends. That's how I feel.
All right, well, I would say read the books, but...
That's not happening.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, I don't read books.
Yeah. Audiobooks, man. Audiobook.
I can't.
You can't?
No.
You just only listening to people read?
Yeah, I was like, what the heck? No. What am I supposed to do? Just lay on bed, look at the ceiling, and listen to it?
I don't know. I was going to run or something, or work out, or...
If I'm working out, I'm not going to pay attention to chapter one.
A lot of people do it, man. A lot of people do it.
But can you honestly say that you pay attention to detail of what the person's saying?
I don't know. I've never done... I do it while I work sometimes. And, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I kind of zoned out for a
second. Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel. I'll be like, oh, man, I zoned out. I have no idea what happened. Then I will have to rewind back.
The other thing, too, is the books that I have, like, done audiobook for.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and Game of Thrones. Those are all stuff I already know about.
Right, so I guess it's easier to follow.
Yeah, so if you did a Harry Potter one, you kind of already know what's happening.
Because
you're reading Sorcerer's Stone, and they're just like... talking about Nicholas Flamel, and you're just, you know, you already know, you know, he's the guy who made Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like, there's
I'm not going to be like, who the heck was Nicholas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not, it's not like you have to have 100% of your, you know, attention to it. Yeah. So
see, the only, I wish they did audiobooks more this way, but Neil Gaiman, mm-hmm. who's an amazing writer, he wrote The Sandman, which mm-hmm. is a DC comic book. It has all these bunch of characters, Constantine,
sure.
Lucifer, and all that stuff. The audiobook in Amazon, it has James McAvoy,
yeah,
it has what's his name, something Edgerton,
yeah, yeah,
and he's playing John Constantine. James McAvoy, he is playing like Lucifer.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. So it has like all this actual A-lister stellar cast playing the actual characters. And Neil Gaiman, who's the writer, he narrates the stuff that needs to be narrated. Mm-hmm. So if they did the audiobooks, if they did the Harry Potter books narrated by the cast,
That's the thing, though. There was a podcast, I'm trying to find it, where they had people that were either like... They started the first one. Mm-hmm. The first chapter was read by Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh.
And then I stopped after a few because they started doing other people that were more famous actors or actresses, and I'm like,
no,
it kind of lost a touch for me.
Well, I don't want Daniel Radcliffe to read the book. I want him to read his part.
Sure.
I want him to read Harry's lines.
Part.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of liked him explain, you know, talking about, you know, the boy under the cupboard. It was kind of interesting.
I can't imagine Daniel Radcliffe narrating an entire book just because his voice is, I don't know. It's not
it looks
very.
Like someone did all. I just found. I was looking at Harry Potter. I looked on podcast. It looked like someone. I'll have to listen to it. But it looks like someone read. Every episode is a chapter that they read.
Nice.
So. That'd be because then that's, you know, I don't have to spend money on each book basically, but.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah.
Anyways,
the book adds a lot more.
See, here's where I think it's a, like, a little plusy plus.
But you haven't read the books?
Because I have you. Oh. So every time,
see, that's the thing, though.
So every time there's a little detail, I'm like, oh, explain. And
I feel like I have to read the books. Like, obviously, I still remember quite a bit, but I feel like I need to reread them so I really... Because I'm trying to remember the last time I reread them. It's been a while, though, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's just been... It is hard to read them again.
Yeah. There's some stuff that the movies change.
Yeah.
That I know about and that you've told me about, and I'm like, oh, this is a really good change that mm-hmm. they did. Because I guess the good thing about the movies is that they can recognize stuff that maybe fans didn't want.
Yeah.
Or stuff that
or
people go,
stuff
that's
that,
kind of
that
weird.
It doesn't work on a movie format or like... They'll change it a bit to make it more movie friendly, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head.
I can't right now, which is why I just made it so general. Like,
I guess the one thing I think about is the whole the scope of certain like scenes. They add more to it, like when they're doing the Potter thing
mm-hmm.
in the part one, where they're leaving. They're trying to get Harry out of Privet Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the whole sequence where they're on the freeway, basically, and jumping on cars and with Hagrid. That doesn't happen in the book, obviously. It's all in the sky. Because obviously they don't want Muggles to see anything. Mm-hmm. But in the movies, you know, they gotta add a little extra something, something.
A little extra saucy.
In your seat, you're just like, oh my gosh, like Karen was getting hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, just stuff like that. That, like, when you think about it, you're like, there's like a ton of Muggles. Like, in the Order of the Phoenix, when they're doing that little, like, music, you know, they're doing their... They're leaving on broomsticks away from...
Yeah, the they're guy. Literally in the middle of London. Just
yeah, they're just going over the river, and they're going past Big Ben.
Yeah.
And just like, Mad-Eye Moody would... He would never do that. He would never do that.
Like, what are you doing?
So you can't... We can be compromised, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's just funny, but it's just like a... You just gotta show the magic of Harry, you know, just flying around London. Like, who doesn't want that, you know?
Yeah. Because this is one of my favorite scenes in all of the movies.
Talk about Chamber of Secrets?
No.
Okay.
This is the third one. The bus where he goes to a leaky cauldron.
The night bus?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Does that happen in the books?
The
man going, take it away, Ernie!
Yeah, the shrunken head.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, comic relief, that isn't in the book.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious.
I
agree.
I love that.
It's great. But the whole concept of, like, the night bus is flying through London, and basically in the book, all the Muggle stuff, like, jumps out of the way.
Huh.
Like, it moves.
So, like, instead of... Because in the movie, they are about to hit that old lady. So that old lady would just bounce out?
Basically. Because there's a... The guy driving it, obviously, thankfully, because of magic, he's not a very good driver. And there's a point where he's basically, like, on the sidewalk.
Oh.
And there's, like, trees and mailboxes, but they're all, like, skirt, moving out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that magic aspect, and, like, to the Muggles, nothing's changing.
So, you know, I love that scene in the movie.
It's great.
Take it away, Ernie! And then they, when he has to, like, okay, we're shrinking, and then they freaking... And then he has to, like, stop with our lady, and then Harry just freaking jumps to a freaking window and smack. Oh, it's like, one, two... Three and three quarters, three and a half.
Yeah, that I do like that.
That's one of my favorite. And I love how the guy in the bus is like, "Say, don't I know you? You look familiar."
Yeah, he's like, "Who'd you say your name was again?"
I didn't.
Huh. What, you off again? The leaky cauldron. That's in London. You hear that, Ern? The leaky cauldron's in London.
And I love how the guy had the freaking like huge sunglasses. He was like. Grabbing, like, he was using the entire length of his arm to steer the wheel.
What is it? His glasses are huge.
Yeah.
He's, like, blind as a bat, probably.
Yeah. I love that. I love that entire scene. The fact
take
that
it away.
Every time, he has to start the bus, he has to, like, do all these different things.
Oh, the gizmos.
Yeah, just like, yeah, that scene is fantastic. And that's something that I don't think a book can create for me.
Probably not. Yeah. Well, I feel like that was, like, the touch of the director.
Yeah.
Like, he'd done some really interesting and weird stuff before Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So that was, like, kind of his own little, like, he was like, hey, like, what if I had a shrunken head to the night bus?
And they were like, what? What do you mean?
But, yeah.
I mean, Alfonso Cuarón.
Maybe I'll watch that movie tonight.
Honestly? Same.
Because that one, I just did watch Chamber of Secrets.
I mean, Alfonso Cuarón is just such an interesting director because he created, like, Gravity, Children of Men.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, like, he's not afraid to push the envelope, I guess.
Yeah.
Which creates something shocking. Because in Children of Men, it's a very early 2000s movie, remember Clyde Owen? He goes, like, he's in a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blah, blah, blah. I think he's, like, a futuristic London. And then he just comes out of the bakery.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. And then the bakery, boom, explodes behind him.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize this is not regular London. And things start happening. It's like... So, Alfonso Cuarón definitely had that little extra flair of nonsense.
Yeah.
But he definitely added to the Harry Potter world.
Yeah.
And I like the tone. The tone change. Mm-hmm. Like, the actual cinematography of the movies. You can tell it gave a little bluish grayish tone to everything.
Yeah, it had like a more a darker, grittier kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I don't want to say scary, but it definitely like
it didn't have
scenes at night or stuff like that. You definitely tensed up if they were walking through the
woods.
Like
for me, the each Harry Potter movie, you know when it shows the Warner Brothers logo? Each movie it slowly changes. Mm-hmm. And the first two, they're nice and gold, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, happy. Yeah, it's like, Harry, you know, you're coming back to the wizardry world. Like, it's full of magic and
And then all that this one is like, you're about to die.
Yeah, and the third one, that's when it changes to, like, the gray look.
And then you have to go through it. And
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. The way the third one starts and ends is very interesting. Because it starts with
Harry. The third one has the worst ending.
It definitely is the worst ending. And, like, the beginning, like, I kind of like it, but it doesn't make any sense. Because Harry's practicing magic, right? He's like, Lumos Maxima.
Yeah.
He's under the sheets, you know, he's like, oh, I got to do this because, you know, Uncle Vernon will, you know, get mad at me. And he keeps coming back in, turning on the lights, and then, like, eventually he does the
and then Lumos, and then
it starts the movie, basically. But then the whole point of Harry leaving and running away is because he did magic outside of school. But what was he doing that whole time there? He was practicing magic. Like, he's not allowed to do magic.
It's like, because he's a... It's like...
There's no homework.
Are like, witches and wizards just like ghosts? Like, if you're under the covers, nothing's done.
They won't see you.
It's a shield of protection against every supernatural thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought that... I always think that's kind of funny, but... And then the ending, too, of that movie is weird.
Why did they stop zooming on his face?
I don't know. All the other ones have good endings.
Yeah.
Like, the second one... is probably one of the best. For me, it's one or the first or second one have the best endings to me. Because I love the ending of the first one.
The first one is like, it's kind of weird going home.
It's like, I'm not going home.
Not really.
Yeah. And well, then, is it the whole like Hagrid scene? He gives him the book, he gives him the hug, and it's like.
And then Harry Potter.
The music's playing.
Harry Potter theme starts.
Yeah.
And then the train starts going. That train sound, dude. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear a train, I just think Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Ever. Doesn't matter where I am in the world.
Yeah.
If I hear that old locomotive, I'm like, oh my god, it's Hogwarts.
But like, I see that ending, and I'm always like, man, I wish I was 11 years old going to Hogwarts.
What?
And the second one ends with the whole, you know, the Hagrid coming back from Azkaban.
The second one has the best ending. It makes me cry every time.
It is kind of emotional.
I just think it just gives such a huge... Mm-hmm. deal for the character.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, of course Harry's gonna hug him, but then how everybody starts clapping, and then Hagrid's just like, he's like about to cry, and then he raises his arms like in power, like, yeah, I'm back, and even the teachers, and I'm like,
yeah,
woo,
I know, right?
The waterworks are coming.
Cause then it's like, from the fourth one on, it's basically like ending with like the trio, basically.
True.
They're always looking out, or they're walking.
The fourth one's like, everything's gonna change, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
That's another TikTok where some like girl is just like, Harry's the worst friend ever. Like, here's Hermione, super distressed and just like super sad. You know, like obviously, like I guess because Crumb is leaving, and obviously there's something, and then everything's gonna change. And Harry's just like that one guy for just like, yeah, yeah, it is.
I mean, it is.
It is, but. Don't worry about it.
To be fair, I see you doing that. I could see you doing that. Like, I was like, I would be like, somebody's moving away. Like, one of our friends would be like, dude, it's going to be so weird when he's gone. They're going to be like, yep.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm like, yeah, man, thanks.
Yeah.
And you're like, I mean, you said he was going. And he is.
I'll work on being more connected to emotions, I guess.
be more first to Dumbledore.
Yeah. I'll explain the whole situation.
But you gotta use your speech voice.
Sebastian. Friends come and go.
But love
always stays with us. And you're just like, yes.
Yes, Michael, yes.
I'll do that from now on.
Yeah.
I have some funny things, I guess, from the first one.
Say it, take it away.
I won't do that one, but I guess the whole... So you know how they're guarding the Sorcerer's Stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
My one problem is how it was so easy to access that room.
Yes.
Like, the door to Fluffy.
Yeah.
Like, no one was like... Obviously, they're like, hey, let's put a three-headed dog in here. Like, no one's gonna pass that. Makes sense. But then the door to the dangerous monster is only like... They just turn the bolt.
Yeah, I'm like,
just like, yeah, just
put
lock
a lock
it.
On it, dude.
Or just a magic spell that, like, because obviously, like, they're like running from Filch or whatever.
Put a magic spell
that Hermione does Alohomora and it opens and they get through. They could have just done a barrier past that. Because that would have just stopped in. Because the whole thing, they were like, at the beginning, they're like, all students stay off the third floor corridor, you know, whatever. And, like, they were just like, oh, that's good enough. Everyone will stay away. But then, obviously.
I feel like they could have made.
Being Hogwarts, you get lost, so. You know, I'm sure someone would stumble upon it.
I mean, the first time they did it by accident, just because the stairs moved. Yeah. But I feel like they were magic. They could have literally put, like, a spell where the
door. There's no door.
There's no door.
There's no door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, come on, Dumbledore. What are you doing?
He's like, no, it's part of the plan. He's like friggin' Mandalorian out here.
Yeah.
This is the way.
This is the way. Because the whole. Basically, like, obviously, like, it worked out that the three of them made it through. Because then, you know, Harry was able to defeat Quirrell and, like, Voldemort.
Yeah.
But, like, Dumbledore's last defense, like, Voldemort was never going to pass that. So they didn't really need the three of them to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Basically, he would just been standing there, and then Dumbledore would just come back and be like, hello, Tom. And then it just been like, you're done, Voldemort. Like, basically, Harry may have ruined everything. He maybe was able to allow Voldemort to escape.
Yeah. Look at this friggin' dude.
So, yeah. Dumbledore, you should have, you know, that first defense, just a locked door, come on.
You know what I always thought about? Because Harry's like, go get Dumbledore to come down here in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did Hermione drag unconscious Ron Weasley back through all those traps?
Yeah.
Like, some of them I can see, you know, like, maybe the keys weren't trying to attack him because they don't have the key anymore. But that weird plan thingy?
Yeah, the...
Did they just
float? Devil snare?
Yeah. Are they going to flow up?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Are they going to open the hatch and see Fluffy, like... being there, all
he's just happy. Chill. Yeah, he's just chill now.
Like, I got questions, and nobody has answers.
No. Like, was there, like, you know, like in video games, like you go through a level, and at the very end, there's like that secret door. That
yeah,
you back like, to the very beginning.
It was like escape.
Yeah, maybe there was that.
Maybe they.
Oh, yes, I remember now. And because the book does that way, because there's another room that they didn't do in the books. It was Snape's trap. Like, Snape, they go in a room and it's full of these potions. And he has this riddle. And basically, like, three of the bottles... It's like, three of the bottles are poisonous. One will get you through. Because there's, like, there's fire. Mm-hmm. There's one on the right and one to the left. The one on the right, I think, it'll keep you going. And the left will, you know, it'll send you back. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you an opportunity to turn back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some other ones. I think... A couple of them are, like, wine. But there's, like, a lot of bottles. And Hermione's like, I'm smart. I figured it out.
Nice.
And then she's like, Harry, you take that one to go through. And I'll take this one. I think that's how they get that.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, definitely the movie. There is... I don't know how it... Yeah.
I've always been, like... Did she, like...
She grabbed the broomstick and flew out of there.
Yeah, but then the keys are following her. And last time I checked, she's not...
Well, maybe they know that she doesn't want to go... through the way.
The kids are like, dude, live her alone, man. Yeah, like
they already made it through, like they passed the test.
Yeah. They're the kids like, but cool. Dude, there's like one thing.
It's your job, man.
Yeah, no, I can see that, I guess. I suppose.
But yeah. That's my one thing. My one thing is about the house cup at the end.
Dumbledore right? All the time.
Dumbledore just like stole that from Slytherin.
A bazillion points for Gryffindor.
So basically, I did the math on it, right? So the whole thing was... I did the math. Okay. So, you know, the whole reason why, I guess...
Is that the math that you were doing this whole time?
Yeah.
I want to... Guys, this mathematical's about to explain. I've been seeing him write down numbers on a notepad in front of me. And I have no idea what he was doing. I wasn't going to mention it. I'm like, maybe he does homework. So I'm like, maybe he's doing homework at the same right time.
But no, okay. This is Harry Potter, man. Because, you know, the whole idea that, you know, there was a scene where they all got in trouble because Malfoy told on them.
Yes.
And then McGonagall is like, for your actions, you will lose 50 points
each.
And they're like, 50 points each.
Each.
And then she's like, and the four of you will spend detention. He's like, excuse me, ma'am, I think you got something wrong. He's like, no, all four of you. So it's like... The three of them lost 50 points, so they lost 150 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then Slytherin lost 50 points from Malfoy.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if that event never happened, Like, they never went to Hagrid's and, or, like, you know, Malfoy never found them out. Basically, Slytherin would have blown everyone out. Just destroyed. Because I was, like, doing, I'm, like, adding all the points again. Because basically, if Gryffindor got back their original 150 points,
mm-hmm.
they would have ended with 462. And if you give Slytherin back their 50 points from what they had at the end, they would have had 522.
Jeez.
So they would have beaten him by 40 points.
Right.
But then Dumbledore obviously does his little thing, because he ends up giving them 170 extra points. Because he gives Hermione her 50 points back. So he gives Ron his 50 points back. And then he gives Harry his 50 plus 10. Because he gives Harry 60, because he's like, Harry's the main character.
Yeah. That was why he was thinking.
He was.
And then Neville Longbottom. Like,
he gives him 10 points. Because, you know.
Okay, first of all.
I do love that line, though.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But, he deserved more than 10 points.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, it takes a lot to stand up to
your enemies
but more to stand up
to your friends. A great deal of courage to stand up to your friends.
That's why I'm awarding Neville
Longbottom 10 points for Gryffindor. Because at that point...
That scene... Okay, I got chills just thinking about that scene. But it's like 10 points.
Dumbledore gives them 160 points, which ties them with Slytherin. Like, perfect. Dumbledore obviously did the math right before this. He was basically me just being like, how can I...
McGonagall's like, is he doing homework?
What's he doing? So then basically, yes, I think he could have given Neville 10... More than 10 points.
Yeah.
But I think 25. That amount was just a big F you to Slytherin. Honestly, I think it would have been even more of a boss move if he gave him 1 point.
That way they Neville Longbottom,
Longbottom, 1 point
for your amazing courage.
You literally just sat downstairs to make sure.
Instead of drops the mic, drops the wand.
Yeah.
Na.
But yeah.
And then he's like, so I guess our decorations need to change.
Like, I think your new decorations are in order, and then
it collapses. Everything changes.
Gryffindor wins the house cup,
and then everyone goes crazy. Gosh, damn.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you being that student Slytherin that earned that house like a bunch of points, yeah. And you're like, what the?
The whole thing at the end is basically like, Malfoy cost Slytherin the House Cup.
Yeah.
Because let's say, yeah, if the three of them got caught in general, because, yeah, they were out of bed, and it was like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
And, first of all, why weren't they wearing the invisibility cloak? Like, come on, you just got that gift. Why not use it? Like, I'm pretty sure they just got it.
With great power comes great responsibility.
But, yeah, they're just, like, walking through the castle, like, yeah, we own the place. They're like 11. But yeah, if Malfoy never caught them, they're just, you know, being dumb and walking around the castle, they would have lost 150 points, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Slytherin would have had a boatload of points. That's another thing, too. I'm like, how did Slytherin get so many points? Because Ravenclaw was in second, and they even were really far behind.
I don't know. Maybe they won a bunch of... Maybe they won the Quidditch Cup or something. Does that give
Slytherin them... must have won the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah, that has to give them a bunch of points, yeah. Too.
I think so.
That's
what's my other thing, too? Because this amount of points feels kind of low for, like, if you include Quidditch games, right?
Because
I assume you play every team once.
At least once.
So let's say, you know, you catch the Snitch, like,
no.
Two of those times.
Actually, I feel, because it's just four teams, it's a whole entire year, you play each team... Two times and then playoffs?
Sure, that's what I was, again, thinking. But they only really show each team playing. That would make sense.
Yeah.
But then, like I was saying, imagine, let's say there's six games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you even catch the Snitch in two of those games, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 300 points. Not even to count for the other points your team scored. That's a lot of points. And then if Slytherin... Or if Gryffindor won with 482, that's not a lot of points for Quidditch, I guess. But
well, we are not accounting for just regular troublemakers. I guess we just assume that Ron, Hermione, and Harry are the only ones that got deducted points.
Well, I'm sure there's other deductions, but like the other thing in the book, too, is when
the next day, when everyone goes in the Great Hall, because they can see all their points in their little, like, jars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, it's in the Wizarding World of
Harry Potter. Yeah. And then everyone looks the next day, because Gryffindor was at the top at that point. And the next day they look, and they're down 150 points. Like, this wasn't normal that you lose 150 points in one night. And everyone was like, once they found out, you know, everyone was, you know, they're pissed. So, but yeah, it is, I think it is a little low for if you went a whole year playing Quidditch and every math question you got right, you got 5 points, you know.
That's a slow year. That's a slow year.
It must have been.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I wish if I was like a teacher, I would definitely like, if you got the, like, you were in class, you're just like, got the wrong answer, be like, 5 points from you. you'd lose points. No one would be answering
questions. No one would answer a question. It's just reminding you, like,
yeah,
time to win.
She's getting all the right answers.
If anything, they should win just out of Hermione alone, just answering freaking questions all the
Snape
time.
Snape deducted Hermione 10 points, I'm pretty sure, in their first lesson for just being a know-it-all, basically. Yeah.
What is it that he says to her?
I can't remember. He went at both of them.
Yeah.
He was ruthless.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's trying to take notes. He's being a good student.
That's the thing. It makes me so mad about that scene. Harry is literally paying attention, writing down every single role Snape's saying, and Snape gets mad. I'm like, hello?
I know.
What do you want me to do?
Just sit there and be like...
He just shake his head.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's the other part. It's just like, Harry's trying, man.
Yeah, he's literally...
At this point, he doesn't know anything about you. There shouldn't be any beef.
Yeah.
That's just between you and his dad.
Dude, the barbecue hasn't even been turned on.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no barbecue. They're still inside the house.
This is me at, like, high school, and, like, the teacher's, like, mad at me because him and my dad went to school together. My dad was mean. I'm like, bro.
You're like, why are you mad at me, man?
Why are you mad at me? And I never know about this. But yeah. Oh, I had another funny, interesting question. Let's picture the scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, like, we grew up together, you know, around 10, and then both turn 11.
That would be nice.
And then let's say you get your owl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, someone comes to your house, because for the Muggles, Muggle-born children, someone comes to their house and has to explain.
What's
the Because otherwise thing? You get this mail and you're just like...
What the heck?
Who's pranking us right now? What's going on here?
Was it a freaking owl?
So yeah, someone comes and explains to you, you're going to Hogwarts to learn. You leave. What goes in the mind of their Muggle friends they had? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because let's say you come back in the summer, you know, you did all your magic stuff and you come back...
All swagged up.
Yeah, or, you know... You have to blend in at that point again.
Yeah.
But so I just see you walking around the street, you know, you're like, you know, I'm on my bike, and I'm like, hey, Sebastian, where you been? I haven't seen you in like a year. Where you been? You're just like, I'm at a different school.
Like, I took a year, you know, like, exchange program. That's what I probably say.
I'm like, oh, where at? You're just like...
Canada.
Yeah, you just make up stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, so what'd you learn? You're just like, oh, you know, maths and stuff. And
I learned some chemistry.
Chemistry, I think. Yeah. So at that point, you know, at that point for those children, the Muggleborn, like, let's say, like, you were 10, you're just like, man, I can't wait to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
But then now you're just, you have to live in the... Your career will now be a career in the wizardry world.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're training you for.
I mean, since I'm 10, 11, I have pretty good knowledge, so I think I could light my way.
You think so?
I think so.
And then, like, a couple years down the road, we're, like, teenagers, and just like, hey, man, you wanna catch a movie? You're just like, nah, I'm good.
That one's tough.
I got other stuff. I gotta write a letter to my friends. Like, write a letter? What are you talking about?
Write a letter. Oh, dude, I gotta go to the post office, too.
I already mailed it. Like, what?
So you don't have to write it, so you have time for the movie?
I was thinking about writing another one, but that one hasn't been mailed for a while. Like, you gotta make up all this stuff to your Muggle friends. This guy's, you can't, like, tell them you're magical.
See, it's... Yeah, I don't...
That's the thing they never
explained. Because that was the thing about Harry. He had no friends.
And Ron, he has his brothers and sisters.
Well, yeah, because I feel like... Because he was raised by a wizarding family. So, like... I don't know what they did before they went to Hogwarts. Did their parents just, like... They didn't have school, probably.
What about Hermione? Because...
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure Hermione maybe had this, unless she wasn't... See, my thing, I feel like Hermione was kind of in a loner,
Yeah. That's why she's so smart, because she just spent time reading
books. She spent so much time reading books, and then no one would, like, oh, she's too smart. Like, let's not play kickball with her.
Kickball? Hey, man, in England, bro?
I don't know what English kids do.
Play football.
Football?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Low fish and chips.
What are the girls doing? They're probably playing, like... Oh, let's have a tea party.
Let's have a tea party.
Yeah, so maybe she was invited to all
the tea shopping parties. Later at the mall.
No, I'm saying, like, at the schoolyard. Like, these are, like, 9-10-year-olds. Like, all the boys are playing football. Like, they got... Obviously, they probably got, like, the playground area.
Hide-and-seek?
Probably, but no one wanted to play hide-and-seek. Or they would probably play hide-and-seek with Hermione.
And then we'll never find her. No one would come looking for her. He's like, okay, you go hide in a trash can. And we'll come get you. And she's like, alright, that sounds quite beautiful.
So yeah, I imagine like when she come back for summer, she was just studying all her wizardry books.
Spending time with mom and dad before she came back.
Exactly. So she probably didn't have that problem either. But I'm thinking of like someone like Dean Thomas. Mm. He seems like a cool guy. I'm sure he had muggle friends before he came to Hogwarts. So like, those guys are just like, hey, Dean, where you been? He's just like...
Your mom's house? And they're like... Oh, Dean!
And they just forget about it.
They don't even care.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's just like an exchange... It's like the X-Men. Because that happens in X-Men, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They just think they're in a gifted school, so...
I don't know. But at some point, like, obviously at Xavier's school, they were actually teaching them...
They were teaching him history and stuff. Like real stuff.
In Hogwarts, you're not getting a math class.
Well, in the summer, nobody's going to, dude, do you take calculus last semester?
You just lie and say, yeah, man.
Really? Can you teach me? No, I didn't get anything. No, it makes perfect sense. Like, I would never ask you, dude, do you remember this calculus question?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, no. It's
like, you play soccer? Like, no, I play Quidditch. Like, what's that? Don't worry about it.
No, you can even say, yeah, I just suck at soccer.
I know. A football? I'm just thinking. But they're like, you were so good at soccer. Why don't you keep going?
I forgot to practice.
Too much studying.
They play basketball back in the States.
The colonies.
The colonies. Oh, wow. The colonies.
I'm sure there's people who's like teenagers in Britain that just...
That just say the colonies?
They call us that, yeah.
Is that their lingo?
I would assume so. I think that would be a funny joke if I was a teenager in England.
Michael, a teenager in England. Dude, I'm traveling to the colonies.
Going to the colonies.
To visit Mickey Mouse.
You never say it to an American person.
No.
Because I'm like... Colonies, what are you talking about? You know, we get all, you know, like...
It's like every time we say, a bottle of water.
Yeah, exactly. A bottle of water.
Or fish and chips, egg up.
Blimey.
Blimey.
So, yeah.
Bloody hell.
I'm sure they have their American jokes.
Yeah, they must. That's a funny one, now that I think about it more.
The colonies?
The colonies.
Yeah.
Going to the colonies.
If you're from...
We do have... UK and Irish audiences in this podcast, so please
tell us your American jokes.
Yeah, like, tweet us out the Getting Podcast.
Please make fun of below. Us. I want to know.
We have to know.
I do want to know.
Yeah, we do have, and they're constant listeners too.
Yeah.
So please let us know.
Or do like an. I'm sure, like, we love British accents.
Yeah,
we love doing them,
especially after watching Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Especially.
So if you, I'm sure they do American accents.
Mm-hmm.
So send us your American accents.
Mm,
I want to see them.
See, that's a funny thing too, because when people do is like, do a British accent, the first one you go to, you're trying to do the most mainstream, like English.
Yeah.
But you know they have, you know, Welsh, Manchester.
Yeah, there's so many. There's other dialects.
Liverpool. Yeah.
It's like in America too. We have.
Yeah. So when you say American accent, I wonder if somebody would instantly think to do a Southern accent type.
Yeah,
of thing.
Like a yeehaw kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like.
Like Scottish,
Well, maybe there's like, I'm sure maybe they do like a Californian one, like "What's up, bro?"
I think that's the easiest one to do.
Yeah, the surfer guy kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest.
I feel like trying to do a New York is kind of tough.
Yeah, Apparently, for
walking here.
I'm walking here. That's it.
That was yeah. Stick to the British.
Stick to wobble.
Yeah. So let us know, man. That is so weird, but just tweet us out of
the. I do have questions.
You have questions,
and those are the type of questions I have for them.
Okay,
and like now I have a little platform now. This is my platform.
This is the platform I can communicate with people.
Yeah,
dude, I'll put it out on my TikTok.
Do
and be like, dude, listen to this podcast. You'll understand everything. But send us out your best American accent.
Is it a duet? Is that what it is? Like, duet this.
I will probably say like duet this or use this sound.
Yeah,
and then just let it happen.
Give me your best American accent.
Yeah, and then I'll be like, hey, guess what? I'm doing mine right now.
Yeah,
this
is
my best. Fun fact: when I learned English, I learned the King's.
The English. King's? Oh, because yeah. In Canada.
No, I learned in Colombia.
Oh, but that was like
that was the
what they taught.
Yeah. At my school.
Gotcha.
At least. So, like, even grammar and all that,
yeah.
I learned the Kings, and then I lived in Canada. So it was even more, it became the Queens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I first spoke, I spoke with a terrible English accent.
That's funny.
And my grammar and stuff like that, and just some lingo here and there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You were like, I want to be like Harry.
I was fucking today. not anymore. But yeah, send us stuff for the beginning podcast, and let us know your house. We should put that.
Oh,
we should make
we talk
that
about
a poll.
That real quick?
Yeah, I mean we're kind of running a little bit long here. But
hey, man.
Yeah,
it's okay. How long is it?
It's been an hour since I started to time it, which was a little bit after.
Okay. So maybe we'll end with our just talking about our house and the pride we have for our house.
Okay, go ahead. You go for the mainstream. So
me,
yeah,
I am the mainstream house. I am a Gryffindor, loud and proud.
He is indeed. I've seen it myself.
I've taken the quiz, the Wizardry World, the Pottermore one.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken it like 3 different times. And every time it's been Gryffindor, so...
Here's my thing about those quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take them all the time. Like, that's dumb.
I don't... It was more like...
No. I'm not saying you. I'm talking to audience in general. Like, do the quiz one time.
Yeah.
If the house that you get, that's the house you get. Be proud of your house. Don't be ashamed of what you got. Like, just like in the movies, the kid's like, you got this, you know?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Just be proud of... what you are.
Because the other thing too, Evan's argument is always like, well, you have a choice too.
Yeah,
that's the other part too, so you gotta factor that in.
No, they say in the movie he takes your choice into account.
Yeah
doesn't mean he has to give it to you.
No, but it does seem like he does.
Yeah,
because the other thing too is that of the trio, each one made the choice to be in Gryffindor. Because for Ron, the house said you'd be a good fit in Hufflepuff. And his, you know, pressure from his family to be like them, he was like, no, Gryffindor, Gryffindor, Gryffindor. And they put him in Gryffindor. Hermione, the house, the sorting hat was like, oh, you'd be a good fit in Ravenclaw, you know, with...
Because she's smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hers is very obvious. Like, yeah. Why aren't you in Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
But she was like, oh, no, I want to be in Gryffindor. Because, I don't know, I actually don't know why she really...
She probably knows, like, a story...
Probably. I think maybe she thought she could... Maybe she was trying to get away from being the brains.
Right.
So she was like, oh, maybe I can, you know...
Well, maybe she wanted to stand out, if anything. Because, like, if I'm a smarty in Ravenclaw, that doesn't mean much. But if I'm a smarty in Gryffindor...
But the thing is, she is... That's the thing, too. Even with her classes with Ravenclaw students, she is the smartest person.
Yeah.
Like, she just destroys.
But she might have not known that at that time when she was little.
But then, obviously, Harry's was between Gryffindor and Slytherin.
Yeah.
And
I like how the hat was a couple of years later, he tells him.
You'd have been a good fit.
You still would have been a good fit in Slytherin.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a hat.
Yeah. He's just a hat. my dear audience, I'm a Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
I'm a very loyal Hufflepuff.
He is loyal.
I do love my Huffies.
Huffies.
In fact,
Huffies.
I have 3 tattoos. I've said I'd never get one again, but if I did,
I already have the design. And it's a Hufflepuff shield.
A minimalist design, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So I feel like you had the whole crest. You'd be like, bro.
It's a little much.
Yeah, you're like, bro, you like really love Harry Potter.
Yeah. No, all my tattoos are very minimalistic.
Yeah.
So it's a little much. I wouldn't have anything that detailed. Yeah. Especially because after a while, you know, tattoos are kind of like, eh. Yeah. And I don't want to redo anything. Mm-hmm. So, Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Hufflepuff.
Proud. So, Cedric Diggory represented the crew very well. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
What's the house that you like the least? Like, every time you hear somebody is this house, you're like, screw you, dude. Like, for me, it's Ravenclaw. Every time someone's like, oh, I'm a Ravenclaw, I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me? Ravenclaw is like, no wonder I don't like you.
I guess it does have that kind of vibe. Yeah. It's like, oh, you think you're smart. Well, there's people that I know that... I guess there's very few people that I've heard that are like, oh, yeah, I'm a Ravenclaw. But when they do tell me, I'm like, all right, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, that does fit. So
Yeah.
But if it was just some random bloke off the streets, I'd be like, bro, you're already, like, making me not like you.
I don't like when people say, you know, I'm a half Gryffindor, half Slytherin. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
What does it mean?
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Those two houses are very different.
I'm like, are you bloody mad? I'm like, yeah, of course everybody has little tendencies of everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's what you're proud of and what you want to lean towards to, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm like, don't be a half. Choose one. Be proud of that.
You're very Hufflepuff about this.
I'm loyal, man.
You're just like, be loyal.
Just be loyal. Just be loyal. Yeah.
I'm very brave, you know? I'm just like, you know...
Go get it.
Do what you want.
You get to choose.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Man, every time I go to, like, the Wizarding World, I want to, like, shop, ball out.
I'm like, I'd take all this stuff. And the other part of me is like, I would probably never wear any of this stuff in public, but...
Well, like, I've seen shirts, and they're really cool.
Sure, like a
shirt. Or just Hufflepuff stuff.
Yeah. The robes would only... If I ever got, like, robes, it would only be for, like, a costume party or something like that.
I don't think I would ever get the robes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If I did, I'd do it for cosplay for TikTok, maybe.
Yeah. Get some Quidditch robes.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm ready for the game.
Hufflepuff Quidditch robes.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
I do... The one time I actually bought something was when... So, I went to the Wizarding World in Orlando when the day it opened.
But, oh, you were there for that.
Yeah, but wow. I didn't know it was the day it opened. My family planned a trip to be like, oh, we know it's opening over the summer. Yeah. We're going to go. And the day we went, they were like, this is the day it's opening.
Wow. Imagine you went the day before. That would have been... Sorry, it's not open yet.
It's opening tomorrow. But at the time, they mostly had, obviously, just Gryffindor and Slytherin stuff. Mm-hmm. So the only item I've ever bought is... like a coffee cup, the metal one, you know, that keeps stuff warm, cold, kind of like a Yeti, and it's Gryffindor, and there's no Hufflepuff, but it's so nice.
That does, yeah.
But at the time, it was mostly just those two houses.
Yeah, because those are the mainstream ones.
Yeah, so thanks to like the culture growing and
everyone else
and the Fantastic Beasts and stuff. Yeah, now.
Or even Clark one was like, I want my stuff.
Yeah, so now that's grown a lot, and there's one item I regret not buying.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, it was at a what's it called? Lunchbox.
A lunchbox.
That sweet. No. That's the name of the store.
Oh.
It's a sweet store. You've seen it.
Oh.
It has all that nerdy stuff.
Oh, what's that store called?
It's Lunchbox. Or Orange Box.
No, I thought it had the name of the place in Harry Potter. Well, Honey Duke Sweet Shop.
No. Well, I'm thinking of Orange Box or Lunchbox.
Honey Dukes.
Well, no. It's not in the parks.
It's not in the parks?
No, it's an actual store. It's where you got your Fallout keychain for the truck.
Oh.
Hmm. Or something like that.
Like it's outside the store, the park.
Yeah, it's like an actual store at a mall.
Oh. Oh,
yes.
Where they have like, oh, they have Harry Potter stuff, but they have other pop culture.
Yeah,
oh,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
So they had this beautiful, beautiful jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a shield of Hogwarts.
Yeah, the four houses.
In your chest.
Yeah.
And then at the back, it wasn't, like, big or anything that you're like, oh, God, I don't know where that. It just said, like, HP, like, at the top near the neck.
Okay.
And the jacket was beautiful, beautiful. It was kind of, like, $80 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I regret not getting it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah. But maybe next time we go to the Wizarding World, I'll get, like, a t-shirt, maybe something, a hat.
Yeah. If anything, I would, a t-shirt would be cool, like a Gryffindor t-shirt.
Just, yeah, just to represent.
Yeah, because I can wear a t-shirt, like, really anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'll wear
you should wear a t-shirt anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I should. But, like, I'll wear, like, a Batman shirt or something or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Or, like, to the beach. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
But, yeah. One thing I got was the Elder Wand.
Yes, he's holding it right now.
I am holding it right now because it's awesome.
Because it's awesome.
It is. Because I was, as a kid, whenever we would get the, like, DVDs for all the movies, it always come with a little, like, mail-in, like, catalog. You can, like, put what number of item you wanted, and you can order it.
May I see it?
Yes, you can.
No, I'm powerful.
But each movie...
It's heavy.
It is. I know, I like the feel of it, but...
Depending on the movie, like, the fourth one, it would have, like, Goblet of Fire stuff, and... but I'd always have, like, wands and stuff. I'm like, man, I would always love to have, like, just a wand of my own.
It's nice. I kind of... That's the one thing I disliked about Harry's wand. It was so basic.
Yeah.
That you could literally just grab a stick from outside.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one, you know.
Yeah, you know it's special.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evans has Sirius's. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
I've seen it, yeah.
That one's cool. It's got, like... It's all, like, different hieroglyphics and stuff on it. Like, different symbols.
Yeah, one time I almost bought the Cedric one. But again, it looked kind of simple. So
yeah, I want to see what let me see what Cedric looks like.
Yeah, but this is super cool.
I know.
We're gonna put a poll on our Twitter, so you can let us know your houses. Vote. Let us know.
Oh, I kind of like that one's kind of cool. The bottom has different like symbols on it, but it's very like very smooth.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a. But you see what I mean? Like, I mean, it's a little simple.
Yeah.
Because my thing with the symbols, like, yeah, they look cool, mm-hmm. but that's where I grab it, so nobody's going to ever see them.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry's is very, like, the handle of it is the only part that's different for Harry's.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool.
Voldemort always had a pretty baller one.
Yeah. Yes, he did. There's a bunch of... They used to sell a pack with, like, all of them. And it was super expensive. And when I mean all of them, I mean all of them. It was, like...
They had, like, a little shelf.
All the random characters. Well, they had different shelves for, like, the most important characters. But they had some that it was, like... Like, Draco's mom's wand.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm pulling out some of the... This one I haven't eaten.
Show me what you mean.
Like this one.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Like this one. It has like, I think this is all the Dumbledore's armies wands. It's got Harry's, Hermione's, Ron's, Ginny's, Neville, and Luna's.
I wonder if you smell that, can you still get stuff?
I don't know, that'd be kind of cool. They're like, what the heck is this?
It's like, how did he find out?
But like, this one's from the Half-Blood Prince. So it has the Horcrux ring.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. But
I feel like some of these stuff are like so exclusive now.
I know. But like, ever since the third one, they always have the Marauder's map.
Yeah.
Be really cool.
I mean, that's like the... That's the one thing why my Harry Potter tattoo will not be that, because that's the most mainstream.
Honestly, I'm surprised you never did this. Because with this one, the Marauder map special offer, $19.50 with any purchase.
Should have bought something.
I know, that's $20 now. You can't get a lot of cool stuff.
It's just kind of sketchy to buy something off a DVD pamphlet.
Well, it was through the Noble Collection, my friend. This is licensed, bro.
This is licensed.
It's licensed to them.
Still, I don't think I would. It's kind of scary to put your information.
You would send a check through the.
It's scary to say.
I would use an owl.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice. That was really.
If you don't
nice.
Trust the postal service, use an owl. That's what I always say.
That's how he always says it. And I think we're gonna end our podcast here for today. Don't worry, we'll come back to Harry Potter in the future.
So please subscribe.
There's lots to talk about.
There's lots and lots to talk about. So subscribe. Let your friends know if you like this podcast. Share with them. If you want some of our merch, we do have merch. Link down below. The Twitter, again, tell us your favorite house. Show us your American accent. Link down below. Or just twitter.com/gettingpodcast. Easy. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok. Follow my Bass Review TikTok too. That way you can stay tuned to everything movies. And go check out Harry Potter on HBO Max. I wish this was sponsored, but it's not. So just go check it out. Have fun. And this is Sebastian signing off.
This is Michael signing off.